What are we doing today, Liv?
We're modernising the lifestyle, of course.
And by modernising, we mean modernising.
Come along with us for the journey.
Yeah, can't do all that. Guys, welcome back to the Swing Hub podcast. I'm Gage.
I'm Olivia.
And today we have a special guest that I am super excited about. Please welcome Maya McDonald.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
We need to get an applause like button. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
you can press it on there.
I'll get that fixed.
Probably on there.
Mine. Thanks for coming on,
baby. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am actually excited. We had a quick chat downstairs. Over a cup of a good chat, so I'm super excited.
I had to stop that chat. I was like, stop the chat. This is podcast gold.
Yeah.
Stop having the conversation now.
Yeah. So for people that don't know you, who are you and kind of what do you do now and what you're about?
Yeah, so I guess professionally, when we first ever sort of met, I have a nutrition qualification, and that's kind of like what I did on do on social media. I say did, I hadn't stopped it. Not paying the bills with ethical non-monogamy stuff.
Don't pay them just yet.
Paying me to be here, guys. A nutrition qualification. I've been a nutritionist for 20 plus years now, and so we've got like a really global audience in terms of what we do in terms of helping people to. Well, we actually qualify the people to go out and help people with the nutrition stuff.
Olivia, man, I'm so sorry. There's always one person, isn't there?
I never have my phone on.
That's so funny.
Sorry, guys.
Turn on silent.
And then I've got quite a moderate sized following, but a very engaged following, and I kind of put the feelers out about maybe starting a new account, and I was like, no snowflakes. And everyone knows I like innuendos and jokes and whatever, but I don't think they realise the extent of it. But I, you know, the first day I just put it on my story, it was like 1,000 follow requests. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, oh, people are. And I did put like, oh, it's going to be about sex positivity, like evidence-based sex education, ethical non-monogamy, some other stuff. And I didn't realise how, and like the engagement, people may be not interested in this, but when your account grows, your engagement, Instagram kills it a bit. But to the extent of, I might get 1%, 2%, 10% engagement. My engagement on my new account is 50 to 75% on every single,
Ooh.
Like it's astronomical. I'm like, I need to start a new business with this sort of thing. It's just, it's just a hobby. But,
so you own a nutritional company and then you decided to come out as E&M and tell the world about it pretty much. But if we go all the way back, because this is one thing that really, really interested me on how you grew up and where you are today. Really, it shouldn't add up in that sense. No. So you growing up, I understand you was brought up in a strict Catholic family, right?
Well, I guess it'd be termed Protestant, but just religious, Christian... Yeah. Whatever, reading the Bible, family,
And kind of growing up, what were you taught about, like, sex and...
Yeah, so it's the very typical message of... I think I also relate it to... I think even people, maybe it's a British thing or I don't know, but even just society in general, you guys will have experienced this more than anyone, but there's a lot of shame about sex and even not ethical non-monogamy or open relationships or anything like that. Even just sex in general is a bit of a taboo subject. Yeah. And if you see that mum, like one of my members of staff, when she was a kid, like her friend's mum was the one who took her to get her contraceptive pill or talked to her about any of these things because she couldn't talk about it with her own parents. And I think there's a lot of shame. So, you know, it was like no sex outside marriage. It's very like, there's lots of people like schools shouldn't be doing the sex education. We as the parents should. And then they don't. Because they're so repressed and vanilla.
Yeah. Because nobody ever just wants to talk about sex at all. No. I think it's a very British thing as well.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I think in different countries, a lot of people are very open with it. But Britain and sex is just a big, like, massive taboo. And
we don't normally talk about kids on this podcast, but it's the right reason to talk about it now. Yeah. So our eldest is getting into that stage now of learning about sex in schools. And I can really only... relate to majority of the population out there because Liv was like, you need to have this conversation with him. And I was like, I'm fucking not. Like, I am.
Really?
I was like, I was just cringing.
Yeah. I was just cringing. I'm just going, I can't. That's my baby boy. Like, I don't want to be talking about clapping cheeks with him. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. not how I rephrase it. But, you know, just talking about sex and stuff. And I think that's your job, Olivia,
but
isn't it?
It's, you're so open about anything and everything. And you talk to the world about sex and sex positivity.
Just not my kiddies, that's
but
it.
He can't even talk to his kid about it.
Yeah. So, what point of you kind of growing up did you turn around and go, wait a minute, something's not right here?
To be honest, it's like it's probably always been, I've always known that I was maybe a sexual being, because it's I think where they draw the line, you know, typical religious teaching maybe is so low that most people are probably above that. But I feel like I'm a very sexual being, even maybe for someone who's not religious or not or even in the lifestyle, like, it, you know, as a human being. I sort of say, like, sex is just, is like a hobby for me. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's not just, oh, sex is a really important part of relationships. I'm like, no, I have relationship sex. And then it's like, you know, when you go out hiking or riding a bike or playing football, I'm like, I'm having sex and, like, and talking about it. And it's just like, it's a general discussion. Like, let's talk about the footy. I'm like, let's talk about dub-som dynamics, you know, or whatever.
Like clapping cheeks.
Somebody asked me that the other day. So we're going to do a YouTube documentary. And she was like, so any hobbies, what can we do, can we see something of you doing a hobby together? Maybe cooking, maybe going on a hike. And I'm like, it's sex. It's a lifestyle. It's talking about sex. It's work. Yeah. That's our hobby. That's everything around the lifestyle is purely our hobby, and we don't have anything else.
No.
When you're into it, there's so much more to discuss. Like, you're not just talking about P and V sex. Like, it's like, because it's, and when you're open, like, if you're super open about it, you can have such open conversations, like downstairs over a cup of tea. Like, the stuff that was discussed, you wouldn't talk about that with normie or vanilla people, but it's just like, it's so normal to, it's not embarrassing, there's nothing shameful about your different maybe kinks or things you're into. It's just normal, so it can fill up a lot more of your life.
I feel like religion as well, it's kind of like, there's people follow religion, and I said to you downstairs, we have people constantly telling us that we're going to burn in hell, and that, you know, we're going to be faced judgment one day. But I remember having a conversation with you, and you were saying, you know, most people that you've come across that are religious do swing, or they'll do something like have a wank, but then they'll go to church and be like, pray, ask for forgiveness, and then it's all done and dusted under the carpet, and then carry on, and then just repeat and do it ourselves, instead of just going, do you know what? We are sexual human beings. This is how we're wired.
It's so shameful. Even the problem is there's so much shame, even once it's allowed, i.e. inside marriage, loads of people, like on Instagram, I follow the Christian educator, or, you know, an account that's called something like that. And it's literally to try and get people, you're married now, you're allowed to do this, but they still see it as this like dirty act. Like, that's how much stigma there is around it that's created by religion or churches or whatever. So, like, I have... Yeah, lots of followers who are kind of like, oh, we're Christians, but we also swing, we keep it secret. And I get that some people need to keep it secret because of their work. And I think that's BS. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that you can't be a teacher and be a swinger, like, they don't cross paths. Like, you can't be a nurse and say that you're going to a sex club. Like, they're totally irrelevant in terms of your job, but people lose their jobs and get outed, and, you know, coming out as lesbian or gay or whatever, it's like, you're going to lose your job as a teacher. Like, that's a protected characteristic, but the people are getting outed.
I've got an idea. Why don't we create our own religion?
I'm going to, I've already...
Are you doing it? Are you doing it?
Right. Still my idea.
I'm just saying, we could create a religion where it's kind of like, hey, we believe in having threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, and this is what I believe. You put in the religion category, you are protected.
You're protected. But normally you are not protected. Yeah. And it's like... This is what I always say, is if I was a single Pringle and I was going out and meeting different people on a weekend, or that'd be okay. Mm. And I wouldn't lose my job because of that. Mm. But because I'm married and we do it together and it's consensual between each other, that's then I'm going to maybe lose my job.
It's unbelievable. it makes no sense. And it just comes from people who are repressed can't talk about these things. And that repression as well, it creates the secrecy that you mentioned. People then are doing it behind closed doors and they can't talk about whatever their kink is. And like, there are major, it's everyone's aware of it, no one talks about it, but there are major issues within the Catholic Church that people know about and they're not talking about it, and it's kind of put on the rug because a lot of what they're teaching is very unnatural as a human being. Like, we are sexual human beings. So people going like, I'm going to abstain forever, I'm abstinent, it's like, that's not natural, that's not normal, that's going to mess with someone. Yeah. And it does.
We were saying downstairs as well, what were it, Jesus' disciples had, were it Moses that had like 4 to 7 wives or something like that? And then you top that with who?
King David had something like 700 wives and 300 concubines, so essentially prostitutes, that he was ordained by God to be allowed to have. It's like right there, black and white in the Bible.
So God allows you to bang as many chicks as you want?
Yeah, he's pro OnlyFans.
Yeah? Yeah. We're going to heaven, baby.
Yeah, we've blue ticket to heaven.
easy. Yeah, so you obviously own a nutritional company, and again, speaking down, we should have brought this up. We shouldn't have spoke about it downstairs because the conversation was just flowing.
Like, yeah.
You brought up a point of nutrition and libido, right? And kind of how, you know, sexually active you are and how that can mix together as the mastermind of nutrition and all that sort of good stuff. Yeah. Can you give us some advice in terms of what do I need to eat and drink to keep a rocking hard on constant?
It's so interesting. Like, there are, I don't know if you see that there's like an ex porn star who's doing quite well on Instagram at the minute, you know the one. And he's got these things. He's like, the night before, you have this protein shake, you have 2 egg whites, you have this. And it's like, I think he calls it the boner shake. And it's like, it's complete rubbish. And the key things, one of the big things, like hydration, I call it the most boring area. I know, like, you love your hydration, but unfortunately you're not getting, what do they call it? Lady boners.
Lady boners. Does hydration help the lady boners?
yeah. But like, hydration is this massive one. Unfortunately, there's no major nutritional things in terms of like, it's like your overall health and fitness. So when people say to me, like, I don't like exercise particularly, and be like, oh, why do you go to the gym? And I'm like, literally, one, so I look a certain way naked, and two, for better erections, like lasting longer and those sorts of things. Because in terms of your blood flow, like vasodilation, like the, so one of the things that certain substances do is vasoconstriction, so which causes erectile dysfunction. So you want to be doing, have things that cause vasodilation. So things like your healthy foods, which aren't sexy to say, but like your fruits and your vegetables. I even went through a thing of like, beetroot is a big thing. I don't know if you beet juice. Have you seen this? People are like, oh, I have beet juice for running marathons, but it causes like basically the dilation of your blood vessels. So
is people doing
positive
London Marathon with hard-ons drinking beet juice?
Specific. That's where you get to Viagra, is sort of specific to that area. But even like Viagra, it causes vasodilation, so people get like blocked noses and stuff like that, maybe headaches sometimes as side effects. But anything that does that in terms of your foods, it's dietary nitrates. If people want to Google it, Google dietary nitrates, spinach, beetroot. But then hydration is such a big factor. But in general, it's like living a healthy lifestyle. Lots of people who struggle with it, if you've been inactive, you maybe eaten a lot and gained weight over time, like obesity related, it's called hypogonadism, essentially like lowers your testosterone, lowers your libido, like really bad for sexual function. But as soon as you get someone getting more healthy, it's like, oh my God, my sex drive gone insane. Like I was talking about PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Lots of women suffer from it.
Say that again.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
So cysts on the ovaries, but it's a syndrome, so it's also related to like androgen levels, hormones, and lots of sort of not great side effects. But again, if you exercise, and again, in some individuals, losing body fat, losing body weight. So going on a diet, which I know we won't talk about today, but if anyone wants to go and follow my Martin Nutrition Instagram account, that's where you get that stuff. But it's suddenly, it's like 56% of individuals with PCOS have lowered sex drives. And you lose that weight, you eat healthy, and sex drive starts to come back. So I got these DMs from people going, I've got PCOS, and my sex drive's through the roof. And I literally am like, I've looked at your Instagram profile. You go to the gym 10 times a day.
Yeah.
You're super lean. Like, of course you're horny all the time. Yeah. Like, you're the pinnacle of health.
Is there anything
in terms of... I'm going to say, please don't use our gym membership. You're horny all the time and you don't go to the gym. Jesus Christ, help me now. I will go to
the dumbbells. Is just fucking...
I was like, why is he asking this? I was like, you've got no issues.
No, I'm not you guys. I'm okay with that. But I think, is it like in terms of like... So a big topic that we're kind of getting around at the moment is like women getting thrush and kind of, you know, after using condoms and having sex and all that sort of stuff. Is there anything that women can do nutritionally to kind of combat that?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. So, there's lots of stuff with probiotics coming out. And so there are, you know, female specific probiotics and, you know, they're like good bacteria. It's still an early area of research. We don't really know. Like, I'm very much like, I've got a friend, she's really struggling with thrush, and she's qualified in lots of physiology and stuff. And she's like, I know the evidence is really early and subjective, but I'm just desperate. And I'm like, oh, 100%, do it, try it. It's normally like, hygiene makes it sound a bit harsh, but it's even... you know, using the wrong washing products. It's just like using water, self-cleaning, that sort of stuff. So it's, but one thing I've got this E&M newbies group, and we're having like, we've got an Airbnb, there's a group of us going. And this is something I typically do. I did it for my birthday. Bacterial vaginosis is another thing that can happen. And there's lots of stigma about those things. So I want to talk about them, even testing. I know like you guys have posted about STI testing, and I think that's brilliant. Like, it's not... a sexually transmitted virus, it's the same as getting a cold. You know how shame... I don't know if you ever got COVID, but when people got it, it was like, they're ashamed.
Yeah.
But no one's ever been ashamed of just getting influenza.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've been saying this for quite a while, even with STIs as well. Yeah. I think the stigma behind it of, like, you catch chlamydia, it's like, oh. But then again, it's kind of, you know, there is ways to prevent it. Like, there's ways to prevent, like, not getting the flu, of like actually not fucking leaving your house, but still, you know, even if you do catch something, it shouldn't be treated of like, oh my god, no, you're dirty. It's
but just it something all comes that from happens. The religious stigma of like, you're dirty, because what it tells you is that person had sex.
Yeah,
because if I've got a cold or something, it means, well, you were around someone and you got some of their saliva in your mouth, like if you kissed someone. But STI, because it's transmitted in that specific way, it's like the only dirty thing about it is if you think sex is dirty. It's not, I had a virus, I didn't know. Like, we could have the cold virus right now and we would be asymptomatic. You can still pass it on. But it's just all comes from the shame, stigma thing that we have as British people, or whatever, people in an era that's, religion has just informed so much of so many policies, so many ways societies run. And yeah, I want to sort of be against that. And what I was saying about the bacterial vaginosis is, a lot of that, the way you fix that is through pH, like vaginal pH and whatever. And again, partners, P and V sex, if you can even have different pHs, and it doesn't... And over time, by sharing like the bacteria on your skin, like your microbiota, you can kind of align yourselves. But if you're going with a different partner... So I actually have this message that I send out of like, look, this sounds a bit weird, but if we're all going to be having sex and like everyone was getting their testing done, but I'm like, something I found is if everyone... basically uses a bacterial vaginosis gel, and again, you just put it inside you and at night, a bit like a pessary, but it's a gel, for a few days before, any kind of thrush, itchiness, these sorts of things, which you're not transmitting an STI, but it's just your body, the bacteria's mixing. We've never had issues after a group play event when using that pH balancing thing. And then someone, one of my subsorts, said to me, only you could make this.
Talking about this, it's like this group chat, it's like all sexiness. Yeah, and then just FYI, guys, make sure you gel up.
I basically said, if any of you want extra brownie points, send me a video of you putting it in.
That's a new fetish in a long time. Just women with like big plungers going, oh shit, that's it.
Turkey based.
But it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. Right. And I think like we had a chat about this of single people who are like meeting other people. They only get tested or don't use protection at all if something is wrong. And I'm just like, you just need to get tested just in general anyway. Why do you always get tested when there's something wrong? Oh, it's burning down there. Yeah. Let's go get tested.
Absolutely.
Just get tested all the time. If you're sexually active, not using protection, go get tested.
But I think it's all about being responsible as well. So, like, recently Livia's kind of found out that she's allergic to latex condoms. But we've got a really close group of friends. And we turned around and said, look, end of the day, we are all adults here. If everyone gets thoroughly tested, what is the harm of kind of going without?
And now using the BV gel a couple of days before.
Amazing.
Top tip.
Top tip.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's it. You're welcome. Can we get some branded Swing Hub BV gel, please? And we'll on the website. The fucking sales are going to go through the roof. Yeah.
What you were saying there actually is evidence-based. There's good research on this in terms of people typically go, oh, you're swinging. Oh, good luck with your viruses or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no increased level of STI occurrence in people with open relationships, poly-ENM, than regular individuals. But there's a statistically significantly higher level of testing in those individuals.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, I've got 10 times more partners than this person, and I've got the same or less because I'm testing and not spreading it. Mm-hmm. Because people in this lifestyle are so much more wary and are just, because it's the done thing to test. Whereas there's this shame outside of these circles of like, oh, well, I shouldn't have to go. I don't have any symptoms. But it's like, you had unprotected sex with someone.
Yeah.
Like, just go get tested.
Sometimes symptoms can't show as well. So that's
exactly, yeah.
But going back to your point there, it's kind of like you said, yeah, we do have more play partners, but it's also the same concept of a person shaking one person's hand to 20 people's hands. You know, it's kind of... And if you test in between, you're more likely to just be on the safe side.
Yeah.
So you're not going to catch the flu. No sense. But I wanted to ask you, so from you building up your company, your nutritional company, at what point did you turn around and go, fuck this. Do you know what? I'm going to tell everybody that I am E&M and I am poly or, you know, where it is that you are. What triggered that for you?
Good question. There's lots of stuff. So on my main account, I will talk about nutrition, but I'm also a very open, authentic individual in terms of like, whether this is the way I was brought up or what, I don't really tend to care what other people think. So I'm very happy to be like, oh, I cried. Oh, I did this. I'm having a good day. I'm having a bad day. Like, lots of people post highlight stuff. This is me failing as a parent. This is me succeeding, whatever. But there's also a thing of, I have all these other views where I'm maybe not an expert or don't have loads of but I have opinions that I want to talk about. I like educating. I read lots of research. Like, I read loads of research around sex because it is a hobby. And, you know, I've got real interests I've had a couple of partners, and I always get jokes about this, but there's something called anorgasmia, which is basically women who have never had an orgasm, ever.
Never?
Ever. Right? And it blows your mind, right?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. And I agree with this because the amount of people that talk to me at work when they find out about me being in the lifestyle, there's so many people that have never owned sex toys, never owned like anything, lingerie, like anything. And they're in their 50s, 60s. And they've never had
a woman that you would speak, the 50-year-old woman?
Mm-hmm.
It's a clinic, like, so in terms of when we're talking about libido, there's so many things. It's not just physiology and hormones, there's the whole stress and psychology and not being able to come because of whatever going on. But there are also individuals who, because when I make that joke, people are like, oh, you've had partners who couldn't come. Well, you can't be very good at what you're doing. I'm like, I'm excellent at what I do. I don't care, you can say what you want. But these are individuals who can't come on their own through masturbation, who never in their whole life. And it's like, so basically, I what's weird is this partner who was like that had the highest sex drive of, like, I can't be woken up in the middle of the night, like, and just someone just jump on top of me. I'm like, I'm literally asleep. Someone like
that's
that.
That's just like me.
Which is really funny, man, because I have, and I don't know what it is, if it's a condition that I've got. Yeah. I will take Olivia's panties off through the middle of the night and try it on and try basically slip it in.
Are you awake when you do
this? No, so this is the thing.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my goodness! Yes, he's mad.
So with she Olivia, was like, "Are you awake, Winjit? You like deep tongue kissing me?" I was like, "When?"
She's
like,
"Yeah." So he's woke up while I'm riding him. I'm on top of him. He's woke up and gone.
Get off me!
Oh no! You're like, yeah.
This is the best dream ever. But you're not Megan Fox. Yeah.
But this is literally constant. It is constant. He's had to sleep on the sofa. Weird, yesterday he slept on the sofa because he's had a snip, snip, snip.
Yeah.
Yesterday he slept on the sofa because I went on a hot wife date yesterday, and he was like, "I'm not coming to bed. I feel all right to come to bed, but I feel like I'm not going to come to bed because I feel like I'm going to try and have sex with you."
You have to sleep on the couch yourself, regulating your sleep, sexing. Most people sleepwalk. Some of us sleep. Fuck.
We do though, and it's kind of like I'm fingering it, and I always get the big nudge, and that wakes me up, and I'm like, "Do you mind? I'm trying to sleep here."
It's so weird that like literally in bed, she was like, "Do you remember this?" I was like, "No. When? What? This didn't. Wasn't that the day before yesterday?" No. You basically must have been acting that out again. She was like, "You then rolled over and like put my hand there, and then I said to you, 'Oh, do you want me to suck you?' And then you fell asleep, or like you, because I was asleep."
We need to find out the psychology behind this. Like, we need to do some research.
I will do the sleep studies on this.
The sleep studies.
Yeah.
See how many people actually do this in the sleep.
Yeah. I think there was one time I actually went down on you, started eating your pussy, but then fell asleep down there.
Yeah.
And Olivia's like, kind of like with her legs spread, and I'm just fast asleep down there.
And you don't even remember getting down there.
Well, it's kind of like, it's like a half and half. So I start off and I am asleep, and then I kind of wake myself up and I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Then I just turn back over. But like before, you know, I said to Olivia, she's like, "Will you stop waking me up?" I'm like, "Why don't you just put out then? Like, why don't you just put out?" And this one time she actually did, and she was proper like horsey riding me on top. And I remember just waking up and I just see Olivia and like, you know, when you get that adrenaline rush, you don't know what's going on. But when you hear a loud bang, you're asleep and you're like, "Oh my God, what was that?" It was like that. And I was like, "Whoa."
That's so funny.
And she was like, "You awake?" I was like, "Yeah."
I will ask him, when I got on top of him, I'm like, "You're definitely awake, aren't you?" Riding him. He's like, "Yeah, I'm awake. And he wasn't.
That's insane. One of my stuff has, I've posted on my Instagram loads of times, he has a sleep app that like records it because he sleep talks in his sleep. Like the most crazy stories of what he does in his sleep, to the point where his partner will like ask him maths questions and he can answer them in his sleep. But then she asks him a really hard one and she'll be like 11 times 11, he'll be like 100, and then she'll go like 68 times 525, and he goes, and just falls asleep because like, it just sort of breaks him or something. But he'll like get up and like start rearranging, like emptied all of his drawers. Like, sleepwalking and stuff is crazy, but I guess when you're a horny person, you just sleep fuck.
Yeah,
and it's like if I have gone on a hot wife date, or if we haven't had sex that night, because we have sex quite regular, or if we don't have sex that night or through the day, and it's like being a one day apart, it's kind of like, I do get pestered.
Yeah.
Your subconscious is just like, just
I don't know if it's an emotional thing as well. If it's kind of like, I've not seen, you've had a hot wife date and I've got that running through my belly and it's like, I'll just get you in my sleep, that's all.
Just get you whenever. Yeah.
So let's, obviously I want to move on to a subject, Martin, about...
I didn't actually answer the question.
Yeah, you didn't.
Sorry, I'm really bad at it.
Do you know what I said to you?
All three of us are
I said to you downstairs, we'll get into a subject and we just drift off into something. That's why we don't plan it, it's just a conversation, baby.
Yeah, it's good.
That's it.
The answer is I don't really know why I changed this in... why I decided to open up, but I wanted to talk about these other subjects which aren't relevant to the bigger account at all. Things like men's rights, feminism, philosophy, stoicism, like ways to live life, ways to be happy all the time, even through bad times. Like, no one cares about that on my other account. But then there's obviously this huge other area of my life I didn't want to start going anorgasmia, this, that, and the other. So I started it, and it was never supposed to be what it is now, because I started it and then I did a question box and every single question was about sex, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, all these things. And then just people like asking for relationship advice. I'm like, I'm not a counselor or therapist. Like, I'll give you my wisdom. I think I'll give good advice. Maybe don't always take it myself, but that's the answer to your question. I don't know what point it was, but it was a case of, I want to live authentically and I want people to know these things. It's a big part of my life. So if people are not going to be snowflakes and be judgy and Karens, you can hop over to this other account, but I'm not going to post it on my main one.
Have you had people that are quite religious attack you for that as well?
Honestly,
since you've come out and gone, I can't believe you've done this, or you know, you're sinning and all that sort of stuff.
I think people tend to be too scared. Like even the nutrition world, like I will just explain why you're a moron if you say stuff like that. Like I'll debate the theology of how, you know, God's pro OnlyFans, like, because half of them are just being judgmental people.
Yeah.
Like, it's irrelevant of their religion. You're not supposed to judge people. That's God's job. But and so they'll explain that to them, and then they're just like, oh, well, I'm on following you. And I'm like, well, you probably should have done that. Yeah. Like, you're on my page.
Yeah. I love that. That's a good comeback. Like, it's not your job to judge me. It's God's job.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe it's ends it. So it does end it. Though,
that's a bit like what we do. We literally just give them love, don't we? But like, we're that's really good. Sorry that you feel this way.
Oh, that's good.
But we
yeah.
just wish you all the best. We, kind of
perfect.
Thing.
You know why can't Christians be more like that?
That's yeah. that. Yeah, we.
A lot of them are, but
yeah, we adopted that, didn't we? When people leave us really nasty comments, nice. And you know, we'll check out the profile and be like, hey, do you know what? You look like a really nice guy, and probably you don't feel right at the moment. Just let you know that, you know, I hope you get better and you do you and I love you, pretty much. Some people don't know how to respond.
You just sort of kill them with
kindness.
What do
you do? Because you don't get attacked and back for them to come somewhere back. It's just good. Like, oh my God, she's killing me with kindness.
Yeah.
I want to fuck her. Oh my God.
Well, that's the other thing. They're also projecting of just like, how can you live so authentic? How can you just be yourself? Like, I have to like hide in my bedroom and just wank like that. It's like, and you're just doing it.
Yeah.
No, see
him. He's jealousy as well, paid. Isn't it?
Yeah. But I was saying downstairs, like it does take people like us to come out and go, hey, this is who we are and this is what we do. And realizing that we are wired to have sex. We are wired, you know, as men, like we are wired to spread the seed, right? That's what it is. Like, let's face it, you know, it is. And women, you know, you're just wired to be freaks, especially you. You know, so. As soon as I think, you know, like generations are changing, and as soon as the old dinosaurs die off and you got a new younger generation coming up, you know, we might see that pivot of people going, yeah, it's pretty cool to have a threesome or, you know, sleep with different partners.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think just in terms of surveys being done, that poly, E&M world, open relationships is growing in on these sorts of like census type surveys. It's like what, I think there's a saying something like, what one generation allows or something, the next generation embraces. So it's this whole thing of like, if you don't want stuff to change, you can't even just let people get away with it because the next generation will embrace it. And I think that's what's happening. People are starting to embrace relationship anarchy, just like setting relationships up in an ethical way. That's the key thing that people don't get. It's like, if everyone is of agreement and on board, you're not hurting anyone else. Just let people live their lives the way they want to.
I watched an Instagram video the other day, and it was about a woman a guy posted a video on Instagram, and it was about not having sex with his wife. Even Siri agrees, that's it. That's it. I don't know if the microphone's picked that up. And the comment section was like, oh, you're great when he goes out and cheats on you, and it's kind of like, you know, all about like he'll go find someone else, and he should go out and find someone else if you're not, you know, basically giving him sex and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But then, you know, you turn it over to like our content, and people are like, oh my God, like you are cheating on each other. And it's like, no, we're not. Yeah. Honestly, we're not. It's because we give each other like, you know, authorization to kind of do it, and this is what we enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like we're always going to be a constant battle with people that one thing can never be right.
Yeah. You can't ever please everyone. There'll always be people. The best way to be is just like this. You don't have. There's a sort of Stoic saying is like you have the right to not have an opinion on something. Like you don't have to be a Karen. You don't have to see something. Just don't have an opinion. Just leave it and just live your life how you want to.
If you don't like that, just unfollow. You don't have to comment. Just unfollow and move on with your life. But then there's people in life that is their be all and end all, and they just want to spread the negativity. And
I remember getting projecting. A DM from a woman, and it was probably the best comeback I've ever done in my life. And this DM, honestly, it was like this long of how it's wrong. Had a bit of Bible study in there, and I opened it and I kind of just scanned through it, but I left her a little comment. I was just saying, let's face it, no one's going to read all that. And I was like,
taking all that time to write a message and someone doesn't read it.
I was like, let's be straight, I'm not going to read all that. And then I think what she said, I think she told me to fucking kill myself after that. God. But you know, it's still yeah. is one of the things. But what I want to move on to, because I've heard you're a bit freaky, Martin. I've heard you're a bit of a dark horse, and like you...
Don't say that, because I'm probably vanilla compared to...
No. So you talk a lot about you talk a lot about like sub-dom relationships on your Instagram page and stuff. Is that what you're into? What is it, the things that really tickle your pickle and get you going?
It's not... It's something I guess I fell into. So I think initially I wasn't like someone who I would identify as like a kinkster or like someone who used the term like BDSM or anything like that. And I think they come with certain connotations. When you think BDSM, it's just like latex, leather, whips, chains, whatever. Mm. Like that's kind of not necessarily my vibe, unless someone's into it. I'm flexible. but it's more just falling into the, I was in my first open relationship and, as I went through that, it was like then meeting people on certain apps, and you know the amazing Swing Hub app is helping support this.
You
time
better
of
recognize
thing. meeting people on those apps who maybe were more advanced in what they were doing and had names for stuff. Like I don't like when people are like you're a dom. Like I don't like being called a dom, because you said a good thing downstairs of like people think just have this picture of what is a dom when it's such a broad spectrum or it's a continuum of and different, I guess it's not even a continuum because it's not there to there, it's like just different things people are into, like you know, the sort of sadist doms that pair well with like a masochist sub who, you know, they just want to be beaten
what's a sadist dom?
Sadist doms are like ones who get pleasure out of causing pain, which sounds kind of horrific, but people who like spanking, but like we're not talking
sound like they should be in prison.
It's not spanking, it's blood drawing.
Oh yeah, like that's I mean what people are into. This came into my head, don't yuck someone else's yum. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before. I fucking love that.
Get that on the merch.
Rather than kink shame, don't yuck somebody's yum.
Get that on the merch, please. Thank you. Yeah. We've tried about that. You can't steal it. All right.
It's just when other people don't understand it. Yeah. Where you're like, I genuinely don't understand the pain, to draw blood.
I'm such a baby. Yeah.
But somebody really enjoys that. And
I think that's where my progression has gone, is like I get so much pleasure and so turned on out of someone else being turned on. So people have these requests and it's like, oh, I'm really into this. And I'm like, oh, I'm not really into that, but we'll try it. Then when someone's eyes roll back in their head or they're just like, and you're like, oh my God, this is so
maybe
good.
I might like this a little bit. Like,
and there's certain things that I might do with a certain partner or a sub that... they're not necessarily with someone else. I wouldn't go, do you want to do this? But with them, I'm so totally into it. But there's other things that someone's like, I always feel awkward because I'm still new to this, talking out loud about it in like, right, everyone's going to see this. But things like slapping. So it's like spanking is one thing. But I remember the first girl who asked me to slap her in the round the face. And I was like, no. I was like, one, I'll go to prison.
Give a little taps like that.
Yeah. Is this okay?
You know, like the whole choking thing that it's just like choke and then you're like, and they're like harder and you're like, I'll kill you. And it's like harder. And you're like, okay. And it's like harder. You're like, it's that trust in that whatever is like when someone asks me to slap them, I'm like, I don't know if you've seen the memes, but it's like a car and a wall and they're so close together, like no one would part. And it goes, how rough she likes it in the bedroom, domestic violence.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's like if everything's consensual and it's pre-discussed, like again, this whole dom thing, I like a dom, but then people just go, well, what does that mean to you? What do you like about it?
Can I just tell you about my funny story? So me and Olivia get quite freaky in the bedroom. Really? We learn about kinks and somebody was talking about breath play. I'm going to get onto the point of what I'm going to say, right? She was like, you know, like covering the mouth and all that sort of stuff. And that's like a really big kink. And me and Liv, like, we do that pretty much every night. Like,
Are we knowing the kinks here?
We did get onto the bit of slapping, right? And a bit of whatnot. But do you remember that time we did it and it was like pitch black and you were feeling quite feisty? And I totally missed her face and clipped her nose. Clipped her nose and nearly broke it. She was like, oh my God. She was like, stop. Yellow. That's a code word. Yeah, that's a safe word. And I was like, she was like, you just fucking whacked me in the nose.
Don't do slapping in the dark, guys.
Yeah. So I bought some night vision goggles now. Just to, like,
In terms of that world, we got a guest.
You're good, Kitty Cat.
I think there's a camera out.
Oh, is there? That's Martin's as well. Okay.
What, is it stopped?
Is it stopped? It might well be overheated. Guys, we'll be right back in 2 minutes. Play some elevator music. Mm-hmm.
It's
that middle one, right? With the light.
I think it's the light.
The light. Oh, okay.
What, the heat?
Yeah, we are back live. Sorry for the technical issues, guys. So you can see
that. We seem to be having loads of these technical issues lately.
We need some new cameras, I think.
Do you think it's a year and they've gone?
Yeah, it's just one of them things. I do apologise about
that.
It's too hot in here.
Yeah, the sexual energy around here is hot. Shit. What were we talking about?
YouTube being too
kinky. Yeah, he's like the shirt, you know, pretty much.
Sort some BDSM contracts or something.
But then it's like, that's what we were saying, how we've spoke about this before, how, like, you said the dom sub scenarios, it's such a massive umbrella. And I think, like, people just need to explain it a little bit more, because when somebody goes, I'm submissive, but I wouldn't be dragged around on a lead on my hands and knees. But that's also in the subcategory as well.
Yeah, like, so I said, I'm dominant, but I wouldn't necessarily whip someone's ass till they bleed, but I just like taking control and all that good stuff. Mm. Such a wide spectrum.
Yeah.
I noticed you're wearing something quite fancy around here.
Not my kink attire.
So
I wore this because I get told off if I forget to wear this.
Is that a whistle when you're in danger?
Yeah.
So you avoid conflict.
It still tastes like pussy.
Right, wait a minute. What's this? What's that?
Hilarious. So it's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a vibrator.
You wear a vibrator on your neck?
So, yeah, it's more of a fashion statement, but I have used it. You know, like, you go to a party and you're there, and it's like, if someone's really into it, because it's a really nice feeling. Look.
Oh my God, mine.
So yeah, it's just a nice, you know, like, not for me, obviously.
Have you ever pulled it out in the middle of a party and just gone, here, come here?
Well, I have actually. I was at a mansion party and then I had it on, and then I was with this girl, and then we were talking about squirting earlier, and she was like, oh, you're the first person to make me come at this whole party. But I had this, and it's just, one of my partners was like, I want that. She tried to, like, take it home with her, and I was like, it's mine. Yeah, you're right. So she's like, I need this, because it's like the perfect frequency.
It is.
So just for the audio listeners, so what Martin's actually wearing, it looks like a 4-inch, like, massive construction nail, but it's quite blunt on the end, quite shiny, and it vibrates, and he wears it around his neck. And you wear that all the time, right?
No.
Do you use it on yourself?
No. Well, you just did then. It was nice.
But on the nips.
I'm a bit of a nipple player. Hey.
Because, like, a lot of the time, so I don't come during, like, penetration. Mm. So I'm, like, a clit stimulation on ass. And it's kind of like, if you had that at a club, like, most 9 out of 10 times we go to a club or a party or something like that, everybody's like, oh, did you come? Did you have a good time? Yeah. I'm like, I never come. Like, like, that's just a general, like, consensus of I never come at, like, when we go play at an event.
No.
Because nobody's there with a vibrator.
Time. Yeah.
Where did you get that from?
Gagey.
It's a birthday present, actually.
Oh, my God. No way. We're down to one. Well, these cameras. Two seconds, guys. Necklace from, sorry?
Just online. It was a birthday present. I don't know where from, but you should get them branded for sure.
Branded.
Can you get the vibrator things? Right, guys, we're going to wrap this up because we are having a few technical issues going on here. But where can we find you on Instagram?
ENM for ethical non-monogamy _Martin.
Okay.
Is if you want all of this stuff. That's and then the Martin one. Nutrition if you want the other stuff, nutrition.
Perfect, mate. Honestly, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you for coming. I feel like we've got so much more to talk about,
I'll come
though.
Back.
It's like,
come back.
And next time you come back, we'll have a new setup, honestly, because this is unacceptable.
That's it.
They've been hard work to them cameras.
Right, guys, we will love you and leave you. Thank you for.
Thank you for joining us on the
Twinkle Guys, peace!
Thank you for joining us.
I'm the real thing. Do you feel me?